individual strongly matters. A unique thinking individual strongly matters.
Hello, and welcome to episode 63 of Black Girl Squeak. This is the podcast where we celebrate Black femme genius with a... I am Dee Dee. I go by Dust Daughter on most social media.
And I'm Inda. I go by Inda's Corner on Twitter.
And we're also available on Twitter, Tumblr, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play Podcasts. Just search Black Girl Squeak. All one word. There's a Patreon if you want to support the show, patreon.com/blackgirlsquee. I might shut it down pretty soon, I don't know. Let's see, our contact info, again, Inda also already told you she's at Inda's Corner. I'm at Dust Daughter. The podcast is at Black Girl Squee on Twitter. Our email address is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. If you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, that would be great. The link will be in the show notes. And you can also add us to your favorite podcatcher through our RSS feed. You can find that on blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. We have a spoiler policy in that we spoil shit. Probably won't be spoiling too much today, but, you know, on the occasion that we do talk about TV, movies, etc., we probably will spoil, and we are not sorry. This is your warning. We also squeal loud, and we talk about penis. again, not sorry.
We grown.
Basically. Grown as shit. We grown as shit. We both about to be 40-something. Hey.
Yay.
Can't wait to induct you into this 40-plus club. Yes. We gonna be old as shit. Complaining about random shit. Yes.
Yay.
Welcome to the club. I don't have to be old by myself no more. Okay.
With no type of
yeah, but yeah, we all, and sometimes we talk about it.
Yes.
So, and by all the accounts of all the people mad about the 1 microsecond of peen in Outlaw King, y'all talk about dick too, and y'all mad about not seeing enough of it. So. You ain't one to talk.
In their defense, though, that was the entire marketing of it. We're gonna get to see his dick. Yeah. You know, like, so I mean, I'm gonna give them that because that was the entire draw for that whole show.
It was most of it. Yeah, they did.
I didn't hear anything else about the show. I don't know anything else about the show. I don't know what it's about.
In the Were you really looking?
I'm going to this way. I haven't watched it yet because I already know I didn't get. I'm not going to get what I was told. Aww. I was going to. So what's the point?
I watched it. It was cute.
Okay.
And I'm talking about the movie.
I know.
I'm not doing dick reviews.
Well, yes. You couldn't see it long enough to judge whether or not it was cute, right? Thanks, Netflix.
Maybe I should do that on the Patreon now. Get these subscriptions up.
Just a complete evaluation of that microsecond.
Mm-hmm. So, before we go too far off tangent, which we already have, let's get into some squeeworthy news.
Okay, so starting off with something actually very kind of near and dear to my heart these days now. If you didn't know, Elizabeth Avicetto, I really hope I said your name right, hon, she won the 2018 National Book Award for Young People's Literature. I actually watched the ceremony. It was actually pretty fun. The National Book Foundation, they have 5 categories for writers, and this year was the first time that they included a category for translated literature. And so in case you didn't know, Elizabeth Avicetto, she won the award for the best young people's literature for Poet X. And she is described, she describes herself as Afro-Dominicana. All right now, girl. And she gave a really great speech, just a really beautiful speech. And part of it, what she said was, as the child of immigrants, as a black woman, as a Latina, as someone whose accent and voice holds certain neighborhoods, whose body holds certain stories, I always feel I have to prove that I am worthy enough and there will never be an award or accolade that will take that away. But every single time I meet a reader who looks at me and says, I have never seen my story until I read yours, I'm reminded of why this matters. And that's not going to be an award, and it's not going to be an accolade. It's going to be looking at someone in the face and saying, I see you, and in return being told that I am seen. Oh. She also narrated the audiobook for E.B. Zoboi. I think I said that right. For E.B. Zoboi's Pride. And that's another name I've heard recently, too, so I'm going to check her out as well. But congratulations to Elizabeth, you know, to all the winners of the National Book Award. But, you know, we gotta hype up our black girls here in all of our cultures and in all of our heritages. So for Elizabeth Acevedo and her NBA award, we give a big
squeeze! So when she said her accented voice holds certain neighborhoods, you can hear it when she's narrating that book, because it's about a family of, it's basically an update of Pride and Prejudice, but in New York, in modern day New York, with a Haitian Dominican family.
See, I would read that.
Yes, it's really cute. It's really cute. Yeah. I'm listening to the audiobook now, so
she's reading it.
So you can she does a great job narrating.
That's good.
Our next bit of news, Cicely Tyson will receive an honorary Academy Award this year. The 93-year-old actress will receive her award on November 18th. And Ms. Tyson was born in Harlem and started her career as a model and actress in the theater. She got her first Oscar Award nomination 4 years later for the movie Sounder. I feel like that, and she started in the theater, so I feel like this is another possible EGOT that, you know, was stymied because of racism, sexism, all the isms. And she should have won an Emmy at least 2 years ago for her work on How to Get Away with Murder, but whatever. Emmys want to be the Emmys. So anyway, to the legend, Miss Cicely Tyson, give a big
just one little factoid. It's interesting that she almost didn't get the part for Sounder because apparently they told her she was too pretty for it.
Whatever. Like, that's ever stopped anybody in Hollywood before.
Yeah. she said she almost didn't get this. They said she was too pretty. Okay, but whatever. Anyway, I'm so glad because, I mean, she should have won in competition by now before, but hey, you know, I'm glad she's getting acknowledged. Okay, so moving on. Now, this is actually something, because this is my wheelhouse. I love, you know, black women being rediscovered, finally getting their due, you know, and being retrieved, you know, from the histories that were lost to them. And so this is about a woman. Her name is Florence Price. And she was a composer. She's been rediscovered and getting a posthumous publishing deal. She was the first black woman to have her symphony performed by an orchestra in 1933. Her manuscripts were rediscovered in 2009. And so this week, a music publisher called G. Schirmer, I guess, acquired worldwide rights to her catalog. And she has a interesting background. She was born in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1887. She wrote symphonies, concertos, and arrangements of spiritual songs. Ooh. Marian Anderson performed her arrangement of My Soul's Been Anchored to the Lord at the Lincoln Memorial in 1939. That is a huge, huge, huge deal. Black women looking out for each other and supporting each other like that. I'm always here for that. I'm just excited about that. She corresponded with W.E.B. Du Bois and sent poems to Langston Hughes and Paul Laurence Dunbar. Her letters asking orchestras to perform her composition show how difficult it was for black women composers to be taken seriously. And a quote from one of these things that she wrote: "Unfortunately, the work of a woman composer is preconceived by many to be light, froth, lacking in depth, logic, and virility. Add to that the incidence of race. I have colored blood in my veins, and you will understand some of the difficulties that confront one in such a position." Black women been talking about intersecting oppressions. Been talking about it. She died in 1959, but now her music lives on in performances from Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra, and many others. And always just kind of a bit heartbreaking when they don't get their due when in their lifetime. And this is what, almost 60 years? Mm-hmm. Almost 60 years. And now she's getting known on a wider scale. Because I'm thinking, if you're like outside of, you know, these, the world of like classical music and stuff like that, you probably wouldn't really know who she is. And so, I mean, give us our flowers while we're here. Help. Give us work while we're here.
Give us, you know, our coins while we're here, too.
Yeah, you know, take our work seriously. And anyway, so to Florence Price, we give a big slay!
All right.
I'm so excited about this.
The Queen Latifah, also known by her born name, Dana Owens, will produce independent film projects. She is going to fund and produce at least two independent film projects created by women. This work will be done through the Queen Collection, which is an initiative created by Procter & Gamble and Latifah's Flavor Unit Production Company. Latifah's production company also helped produce Bessie.
Yes.
Directed by Dee Reese, starring Queen Latifah, which was awesome. And I think won an Emmy for behind-the-scenes stuff, but also should have won for directing.
And acting.
Yep. Dana Owens said, when she announced this initiative, she said, "When one of these women have an opportunity to make a movie, they can employ 150 to 250 people, and they'll have the power to hire other women."
Yes.
Dana, Queen Latifah, she knows what's up. Ava knows what's up. A lot of these...
Yep.
People know, Ryan Coogler knows what's up. You can hire a lot more people, and frankly, one of the surest ways to get a truly inclusive crew is when you hire a woman of color is in charge, or a person of color, but usually a woman of color. because these white people ain't going to. They don't have the range. They'll hire one or two people of color and think they're done.
Yep.
And they haven't set up any structures in place to ensure they'll have a job beyond this, to make sure that they're comfortable and doing the best that they can at the job they currently have. They're just totally fixated on quotas. So, Queen Latifah knows what's up. So, to her and her new initiative, the Queen Collective, we give a big
Well, some more news from the world of film. A coming-of-age film, Jen, is set to come out this week. Jen is the debut for director Nijla. I hope I said that. Wait,
Nijla?
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry. I'm butchering her name. Nijla Mukmin. Mukmin. Okay. Forgive me, Nijla. And she used to contribute to Shadow and Act. Okay, so Jen is the story of a black girl, Instagram celebrity, whose world changes when her mother converts to Islam. Ooh. Zoe Renee plays the girl, and Simone Missick of Luke Cage, Our Miss Tonight, she plays the mother. And the film, it should be released by now. The film was released on November 15th in theaters and available video on demand on the 16th, so should be released now, but I don't know which VOD it's on.
Just have to Google it.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm here for Simone Missick and anything, so.
Yeah, this sounds very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so for Nijla. And Zoe Renee and Simone, we give a big squeeze.
Our next bit of news is forever our first lady, Michelle Obama, graces Essence magazine, and she's just released her memoir called Becoming, which gets great reviews from one President Barack Obama. No bias involved. In the book, she says that the birther conspiracy furthered by Cheeto Head and his wife threatened her family, and she reveals that she used IVF to conceive her children after suffering a miscarriage. So, a lot of things that we did not know about Michelle Obama and what she's gone through in her life. She says she was drawn to her husband because he showed that he respected women, and also he was a full-fledged human being when she met him. Which is very key. She's dropping major keys in this book.
That was cold, for he was already grown. I wasn't finna raise him.
Yes.
Because I ain't finna be raising him.
Yes. Yes. Michelle LaVon Robinson Obama is not about raising men in these streets. No. Not Michelle from the South Side. So far, the book has sold at least 725,000 copies. It just came out like this week, so she's on her way to a bestseller, and congratulations to her. I can't wait to get my hot little hands on a copy. So to Michelle Obama, we give a big Oh, she's also wearing her natural hair on the Essence cover.
Oh, yes. Oh, girl.
People are so really loving that.
She was gorgeous, though.
She is.
It's like, do you remember, like, when he first got voted in, and there was that photo manip of her with, you know, the natural hair? I mean, it wasn't, of course, it wasn't real, but it just looked great, and you just kind of wished it was. I still remember that, but now she's doing it for real, because, you know, she know us, and she can do what she damn well please now.
Yep. She's free. So.
Yes. To freedom.
No, stop. Goodbye. And that was the end of Black Girl Squeak this episode. Thank you very much. No. Okay. We're not doing that. But now, since Enda went a while out, let's go visit Enda's Corner with published author Enda Lord.
Okay. Just a couple of things I want to put on your radar this time around, because these are two ladies I really love a lot. The first is Melissa Fox, and she finally released her debut solo album, The Villainess. And this has been, like, years in the making. Like, when I first became aware of her, like, a couple of years ago, she was already still, you know, trying to get this album done. And so finally released it a couple of weeks ago, and I really do like it. I really do enjoy it. Just this really kind of slow, heavy metal. It's really good. And in case you don't know who she is actually pretty legendary in heavy metal scene. She is was the lead vocalist behind a band called Judas Priestess, and exactly what that sounds like, a Judas Priest cover band. And like I said, she's very well regarded in, you know, heavy metal circles, because of course, one, she's freaking gorgeous. She's really beautiful, and also she works really hard, you know, in metal, and really hard also in bringing, you know, other black women into, you know, that circle and into that world, you know, so that we're included there. I think she was also interviewed for Lana Dawes' book. What's it called? What Are You Doing Here? I read a few years ago. And so even if you don't know anything about heavy metal, you know, this is a good album. And, you know, if you want to even just be introduced into that world, Melissa Fox is your girl. Okay. And also, I actually haven't got a chance to listen to the whole thing yet, but Cupcake has released her second album this year. It is called Eden. I do know that she has a song on it called AUTISM, Autism, A Unique Thinking Individual Strongly Matters. Cupcake really be out here just here for people.
Yeah. I mean, she's done several songs about queer people, of course.
Yeah.
Famous LGBT. But she's got some other songs where she talks about, you know, just not discriminating against gay people.
And letting gay people be who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, she sprinkles those in amidst her very raunchy.
Yes.
She's got a song called Deep Throat, enough said.
Yes.
And another one called Doggy Style. She's not hiding what she does or what she likes to talk about. I think her Twitter name now is Marilyn Monroe.
Monroe. But I love that, though. I love it.
she's something else. And definitely check that out.
Yeah, like I said, she stays busy, because she released that album, Euphorize, in January. And then after that, she started releasing singles that weren't even on that album. Like four or five, like every other week, you would find a new Cupcake single. And new videos, too. So, I mean, she is working. And incidentally, today I saw she actually is looking for a personal secretary.
Because she's been assistant for so long.
Yeah, she's trying to hire a personal assistant and, you know, put that out there. So I'm like, hey, if you are in Chicago, who you looking for a job, I know she is going to treat you right. Because she's like a literal angel. because, you know, she's been homeless and stuff before, and then, like, you know, she's on, you know, Twitter talking to her fans, and one of them, you know, is either about to be homeless or, you know, already was, and, okay, look, DM me, and, you know, sending this girl money and stuff, so, you know, she's not destined down and out. I mean, she is just, I mean, she's only, like, 20, and she's just such a beautiful person. You know, I love this girl to death. So, but yeah, and also in case you missed it, I hope you didn't, she was on the remix of Kalayla's Let Me Know, and just so glad that, you know, she's part of that collective, because I'm like, I feel like kind of those four rappers, those four women and Kalayla, they're kind of this new guard of, you know, black female artists in music that are coming up and actually being the innovators of what's going on here. And so I'm really glad that she's part of that, and you got to be part of that collective. And like I said, you know, check out her music. I gotta go over the album again, you know, before the week, because next week is a new show. And yeah,
you gonna do a show on your birthday?
Yeah.
All right, and what show is that?
It's the Black Swan Collective.
Where can we find it?
On Mixcloud.
At?
Oh, mixcloud.com/Endalarn.
Yay! We finally got you to what? Plug your shit. Okay. So thank you. And to Endalarn, we give a big squeak.
Give it a squeak, a cupcake, and motion box. Squeak!
And thank you for that wonderful visit to Enda's Corner.
I'm taking a bow.
You better.
We're doing quicker.
You better.
Yeah.
So now we got Catch the Fade, and I've got so many things I could talk about, but I think we're just going to keep it to two.
Okay.
I think we're just going to talk about Miss Abrams and Miss Williams, because...
All right.
I think that'll be enough. We can throw out enough fades just on those two. So, first off, Stacey Abrams acknowledges that Brian Cheatin' Ass Kemp will be certified as governor, although he shouldn't, because he's a cheater. And she also plans to sue.
Yeah.
She explicitly does not call it a concession speech. And she's basically calling him out all the way, and I appreciate that, because she knows that had this race been run fairly, she would have won. And there were thousands of votes thrown out because of a law that he put in place, the exact match law, that said if your name on your ID or whatever doesn't match your whatever they have in the voting records, whether it's a space or an apostrophe or a hyphen missing, they will throw out your vote. There were also several voting machines hidden away that they just recovered during the recount. There were, even on election day, there were voting machines sent to polls without power cords, which made forced people to wait 3 to 4 hours to vote. There were so many ways that specifically voters in black and brown neighborhoods were encouraged not to vote. There were people thrown off buses
mm-hmm.
with
the phrase Black Voters Matter on it because that was too partisan. That was real too partisan. We talked about this before. It's bullshit. Mm. But
yeah,
it happened. Yeah, Stacey Abrams got a raw deal. And I'm glad that she's still upset about it. And she still plans to fight the best ways that she knows how. Yes, Kemp should not be going to the governor's house. He should not. He should not. He bold-faced cheated.
Like, it wasn't even subtle.
It's not in the least. Not at all. He wasn't trying. He was still Secretary of State.
Only resigned after he thought he just knew he won. He wasn't resigning. It's like,
resigning because of pressure from other groups or whatever. He was resigning so he could move into... Yeah.
That should have never been allowed to happen. You are the Secretary of State, and you're presiding over an election
that you're in.
Should not have happened. It's not just Stacey Abrams got a raw deal. Georgia got a raw deal.
Yeah,
the entire fucking state. And I'm still looking real sideways at you, white women voters.
Yep.
Still looking sideways at y'all too. Don't think we forgot about y'all.
Yep. Can't be trusted. I don't think we need to just figure out a way to build a coalition without them.
Yep.
Because they'll say one thing to the people taking polls and do something different in the voting booth. And I'm tired. I don't want to take time to understand it. I just, if you're not for us, get out the way. This fade does not go to Stacey Abrams in the least. We send nothing but love and light to her.
Yes.
This fade goes to Brian Kemp and his cheating-ass team and everybody who voted for him. Everybody that meant to vote for him.
I know, right?
So, do you want to take this next one?
Okay, so, as you know, every year GQ has issues. They'll do Man of the Year, which will end up being several Men of the Year. And then they will also choose a Woman of the Year. So, this year, their Woman of the Year was, of course, our queen, Serena Williams. However, when they do the little thing where they scratch out man and put woman, they put woman in quotation marks right next to a picture of Serena Williams. Now, regardless of the reasoning behind that or what whoever did the headline or whatever thought they were doing, that was fucked up. That is really fucked up. Because, I mean, not even just on, like, you know, a transphobic level, because that is kind of there, but considering even black cis women, there is a history of invalidating our womanhood, and then to put quotation marks around her being a woman, fucked. That is fucked up.
Just on a style level, they didn't put quotes around man, so they shouldn't have put quotes around woman.
I don't think they put quotes around Gal Gadot either when she was Woman of the Year. I saw them put, you know, side by side, because I think she was last year. There was not quotation marks around woman for Gal Gadot.
So there's no reasoning for it except for misogynoir.
Yep. I mean, even when you think you're celebrating Serena, you are being, she gets disrespected. Just, I just could not imagine just having her level of talent, her level of esteem, just being just excellent all around in everything she does and still having to deal with that level of disrespect. It's just, wow. I just, I don't have any words for it. Not any nice ones.
Yeah, this is why black women, for the most part, are so protective of her. Because she gets so much bullshit when she's done so much for her sport and just for women in athletics in general.
Yes.
And all she gets is bullshit. And I'm trying not to cry right now. So
please, I know. Stop. And it's like every time she speaks, though, she says women broadly. She doesn't just say, you know, just black women. She says women broadly, you know. She's including y'all. And I swear, I think it was probably a white woman who was like, oh, well, this is that guy's thing. This is what he does. I don't give a fuck. This is why y'all, see, y'all will sit there and spout, listen to black women all day. But when it comes down to it, you just don't, because you know what? You really don't have any of us that are close enough to you that, you know, you will go to and actually listen to when we tell you this is fucked up. But the thing is, I'm pretty sure you didn't have anybody around anyway to show, okay, well, maybe, you know, do we need to do this? Didn't I bother to even probably, you know, think, do I need to have this checked? Because I know, you know, I know what I'm doing. I don't need to, you know, nobody to come, you know, behind me, look to see, am I doing something possibly offensive or anything like that? Because y'all don't think you do. But look at, this is just, it is, I'm being nice by saying it was disrespectful. That's being nice.
Just catch the fade. You don't have to be nice.
Okay, y'all are being racist and sexist as fuck.
Yeah, fuck y'all.
Yeah. So, Serena Williams is a woman, not a woman in quotation marks.
Yeah. And I would be just as mad if you had named Janet Mock Woman of the Year in quotation marks. Well, I would have been.
I would have been. I'd be livid.
it's not cool either way.
It is not. It is not. Yes.
And yeah, that wasn't even necessary. That wasn't even necessary.
Like, what were you even thinking in the first place? What was it? There was no. There is no justifiable reason for that.
Yeah, just somebody that thought they were being cute. And they were not, like whether, this is one of those things, whether you intend to harm does not invalidate the harm. It doesn't reduce the harm. The harm has been done. So I don't give a fuck about your intention. So, all right, so Brian Cheatness Kemp, which will forever be his name when it comes out of my mouth, gets the fade. GQ magazine gets the fade. And now let's try to bring some levity to the proceedings by talking about some penis.
Yes. Yes.
Let's talk about some penis. Some fine ass men.
Yes.
And
the finest of the fine.
Yes. We've talked about them before. I think we talked about them maybe the first time, like, we introduced.
It was the second time. It was the second time because that video came out.
Oh boy.
And it was like, oh my God, why is he so sexy?
Yes, still. But, yes, it's Idris Elba.
Yes.
Also known as People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive. It took y'all, 10, 13 years? Y'all finally got it right.
Yep. Finally. Like,
why did it take you so long? You've been fine all these years.
And why did you name fucking Blake Shelton before Idris fucking Elba?
Just, what is wrong with y'all eyes?
There is no level of comparison there.
Idris is just like
the walking personification of sexy.
Just effortlessly charming and handsome and sexy.
Yes. Oh, and he's brand enough now too. Oh my God, that's just his name just sounds good. Mm. It just feels good to say his name,
yes.
Idris.
Mm. Like, anyway, just,
he looks like that.
Wow, it took y'all this because y'all been naming all these mayo ass. Bland ass. Oh my God. Y'all are terrible. And y'all better not follow this up with another mayo ass bland ass. I don't care if he's I don't care if he's one of the Chris's. I don't care if y'all want to name, I don't know, pick the finest white boy ever. I don't care. You better keep going with some men of color. I don't give a fuck about any of
I mean
yes. None of no. Y'all better listen. Not just say, oh, we picked one black guy, now we can go back to these white men. Fuck that.
Listen, we just saw the way Henry Golden looked on that GQ cover. Good Lord. I mean, Vaughn, he was fine as fuck. John Cho just got nominated for Independent Spirit Award. David Diggs got nominated for one. I mean, I kind of don't like him as a person, but let him take off his shirt, Michael B. Jordan. Dear Lord.
Winston Duke exists?
Exactly. I mean, come on now. All he got to do is
Ahmed
show up.
Exists?
Dev Patel.
He was in one of the most successful bad movies of the year, Riz Ahmed. So,
villain. He was a villain in Venom.
Yes. There's too many men of color who have not been acknowledged as sexy and deserve it. And Idris can pave the way for that. Or you can just name Idris again because he's still gonna be. He's still gonna be sexy next year. Promise. Mm-hmm. I promise. I can guarantee it.
Yeah.
So, yes, just stop, people. Yes.
But we do appreciate giving us more pictures of this because we needed that.
With the salt and pepper, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have to say congratulations to my stepdaughter Islan because she is the Golden Globe ambassador this year.
She is so cute.
That girl is gorgeous. I mean, who does her eyebrows? Because oh my God, her eyebrows are
maybe God does them.
Yeah. Because they are perfection. She is just so lovely. That is a gorgeous girl.
Melanin popping, just everything.
Yes.
Yes. Please stick with the melanin people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just love that because the ambassador is always the daughter of somebody in the industry like that. And so it's like, I just kind of love that.
Yeah, I think Jamie Foxx's daughter has been an ambassador. Stuff like that.
Yeah. So, yay for black girls, you know.
And
they're just out here being cute.
Yes. Being cute.
And yeah, you know, congratulations, people, on being a broken clock.
Yeah, you know, right, finally catching up.
Yeah, right, 2 times a day or something. Don't fuck it up again.
Please,
no more mayo. That should be your new slogan.
Yes.
And with that, because I could wax eloquently about Idris Elba for hours, but we don't have that kind of time. So, woman is vocab.
All right. I may have done this one before. I need to try to find that old list where I crossed off things I've done before, but this is actually good for you to hear again anyway. So today's woman's vocab word is matrix of domination. Matrix of domination refers to the idea that various forms of privilege do not exist in a vacuum. In order to understand this matrix, we must consider the ways that these privileges connect, i.e. relate and interact to one another. Matrix of domination shows that one single characteristic does not itself inform the social situations in which people are perceived and treated. Patricia Hill Collins developed this concept in her examination of intersecting oppressions. Matrix of dominatrix. Domination, sorry.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Shut up. Leave me alone.
That is somebody's erotica title right there.
Oh my god. Okay, if that's the case, then pay me.
Give into her coins for coming up with the title.
Oh my god.
You just come up with the plot. What did you just say? That's in this corner, INDASCORNER. She is a published author and a nurse. And with that, we gotta close the show because she's too much.
Okay. I'm too much.
Yes, you, published author, and DeLorean. Black Girl Squee is on Twitter, Tumblr, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. We have a Patreon for now, patreon.com/blackgirlsquee. You can find Inda at Inda's Corner. I already spelled it out. I'm at Dust Daughter. The podcast is at Black Girl Squee. And our email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And you can also find all of our episodes up at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. So until next time, bye.
Bye.
Thinking individual strongly matters. A unique thinking individual strongly matters.